Hi, I'm Marshall with Androids and Assets here on assignment at Worldcon. I'm with Kelsey Olson. She just gave a fantastic presentation on the panel talking about authors creating societies, and in particular hers was Women in Magical History.
Yes, in the Regency period, in particularly in London.
It was amazing. It was really fantastic. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Maybe can you just give us a bit of a thesis statement from your paper?
Yeah, basically the thesis would be that the representation of women, specifically in a historical fantasy context, how does it change and how does it not change, particularly in novels written by women, where shouldn't we be allowed or be able to imagine a world where if we can change anything about it in the past, we could empower women or in other ways alter the way that they were treated by a patriarchal society.
Yeah, and it was great. I mean, I've been trying specifically to find more women authors because I think it's a good perspective, and it is
Yes. It's
often different than a male author, which is not surprising at all. And you spoke a lot about Susanna Clarke. I always get the title wrong, but Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell.
Yes,
there we go. And it's a book that I really really enjoy. It's fantastic.
Well. Yeah. But unfortunately, very male centric.
Yeah, very male centric, and I hadn't really. I mean, this is my own bias again, but I hadn't really noticed it. I was like, this is a great book. Everyone should read this. And not that I wouldn't recommend it still, but after hearing your talk, it's sort of like, oh yeah, there are some things that I should think about in this.
Yeah, it's mostly the question of Susanna Clarke's a woman, and she's living in modern age and in Britain, and yet when she wrote this very long novel, she didn't center women in any way. The only representation of women was for them to be put down or otherwise taken advantage of by the male characters, and it's kind of unfortunate. She did write, before writing the novel, she wrote a short story which was entirely female magicians, but we don't see any of those in the novel, and considering its length, it's telling, it seems very intentional, and that was kind of my question going in to the paper, was why would you, what pushes you to do it that way?
Right, absolutely. So, I guess, What can we do as consumers of this media? What can we do to sort of not sort of just accept that this, not just accept this bias? Like, is just awareness that there's no women in that story, is that enough to?
I would say no. I think that the power of your dollar is exceptional. Purchasing stories that are by women, particularly by women of color. The last book that I mentioned in my paper was by Zen Cho, The Sorcerer to the Crown, and it was the most fantastic representation of women and also a very well-written story. And the more that we put forth those voices and those types of novels, we will see and allow some of the older way of just representing men to fall away, to have more of an equal representation. And that requires a lot of propping up female voices and people of color that have been it's going to take a long time to even the scales.
Absolutely. So Zen Cho, do you have any other recommendations of like great representation of women that are a good story for us to read?
Yeah, there is. I'm a YA writer, and that's my main love. So there's Dread Nation, represents black women in the after the Civil War. It's a zombie apocalypse and basically dealing with that, and it's a fantastic historical fantasy novel. And then
who was the author? Is that you or someone else?
No, that's not me. And I'm terrible at names. I've forgotten.
we'll find the name and be sure to include it in the notes.
Yes, please do. And but there's there's a lot, and there's a lot being published right now. That so there's not there, you may not you can't find classics written by women or by women of color for the most part, unless you go to like Octavia Butler. Kindred is a wonderful novel considered science fiction, but she, because of the time travel aspects, but a modern woman going back in time and living in living on a slave plantation under her great great grandfather, who is a white man, and that very much feels to me like a historical fantasy, where the modern reader in a historical past, yeah.
So on our show, as we talk about different things, and recently the movie A Wrinkle in Time was out, so we were talking about this, and I really like the representation of Meg Murray in A Wrinkle in Time, because she takes on sort of that classically male role of being the hero, and even better is she has like Calvin O'Keefe is there beside her, and he doesn't really have much role other than to like support her, and he's sort of the emotional one who does the labor of like, oh well, you know, don't let them get to you, you're really great. And then she goes out and saves the world, and Calvin's just like there in a typically female role of like, he doesn't.
You can see it a lot better when they flip the roles, which is always interesting.
So that was that's one that I really enjoy as a representation of women. So
yeah, one of the ways that I like to analyze text is to see if you changed a character from one gender to another, or. That's being on a binary, but for the purposes of my analysis, if this character were a man, would it feel strange right now for them to be doing this thing, or the turning to a man and saying, "What do we do now? Nobody acts that way." And so that's a good way of seeing, is the representation of women falling on the side of accuracy, or is it what Cameron Hurley describes as the women, cattle, and slaves narrative?
Yeah, that's thanks very much for doing this.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
You mentioned you are a young adult author.
Unpublished so far, so.
Okay, great. Well, I mean, I'll keep an eye out, and I hope to see something of yours in the future.
Yes, I look forward to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.